Welcome back. Let's face it, regularly riding public transit can be uninspiring. Commuters sit isolated inside of their headphones, staring at smartphones, iPads, books, and newspapers. It's loud, and there's no privacy to talk, even if you wanted to. San Francisco painter Brett Amory takes a different view of the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, or the BART. He sees a gathering place, a town square on wheels. And Brett is getting attention from work that began on the BART and is now being seen in galleries in L.A., New York, and London. KALW's Julie Kane brings us his story.
I was living in San Francisco, and I was working in Emeryville, and I was taking BART every day to work. And I noticed how BART would be packed with people and there'd be this disconnect. People rarely look at each other, you know, let alone speak to each other. And everyone seemed to be in their own little worlds.
Riding the train every day, painter Brett Amory was intrigued by the anonymity of the people all around him. He wanted to know what they were thinking about. He wanted to imagine their lives. So he started painting them. He called the series Waiting.
Essentially about waiting to be somewhere else in transit. And how there's this disconnect. While we're waiting for something, we're off on our own thought. You know, we're thinking about our past, we're thinking about our future. But most of us aren't in the present moment. And we're not paying attention to our surroundings or who's around us.
Amory's paintings feature isolated figures in washed out, featureless urban landscapes. Bus stops, crosswalks, BART platforms, the airport.
Usually the people in my paintings don't really fit. They seem a little awkward. They're the people that are overlooked. You know, so you see them on the sidewalk, or you see them on the corner, or you see them walking down the street, and you might think, I wonder what they do when they go home, but then you forget about them.
Is there anybody you can remember, like someone that sticks out in your memory that you can describe to me that you would see a lot?
There's this girl, I never put her in a painting, but I would see her on the bus every day. Like, we'd cross paths at the same time every single day. It was like clockwork. You know, she'd be crossing the posts in Leavenworth. And I had just gotten on the bus at that point. And every day, like clockwork, we'd cross paths.
Did you guys ever say hi or make eye contact? Or?
Well, I was on the bus and she was always walking. So, yeah, I'd just keep going and she'd keep going her way.
Amory's paintings are emblematic of the solitude of urban life. A man sits slumped by himself, lit by the glow of a bus stop on a darkened street. A middle-aged woman waits on a BART platform, face blurred, purse clutched to her side.
There's a lot of isolation, so I try to think about the aesthetic, and I try to evolve the idea in some shape, way, or form.
More recently, that has meant moving his subjects out of isolation.
This last batch of paintings was called White Light, and the paintings were more hopeful. The people in the paintings were in the now. They have crossed over, went through a passage, and they're in this enlightenment.
The paintings aren't easily forgettable. In fact, some of them are larger than life, as big as 10 by 7 feet. For Amory, that's the point.
I like to bring attention to these people. And doing them on a large scale, you're forced to pay attention to them when I show them in a gallery. Or sometimes I put them up on the street and you're forced to look at them, you know, because the scale is so monumental.
To preserve his own impressions, Amory makes sketches and takes snapshots of people he wants to paint, careful to catch them in candid moments when they're unaware of him. The nameless and faceless become as familiar to him as his own reflection.
So I remember one person I spent probably 40 hours looking at, doing a painting of, and then one day I was on the Muni and I saw them on Market Street waiting for the bus, and I thought I knew him. I mean, I almost got off the bus to go talk to him, and then it dawned on me that it was like, oh no, that's the person that I put in the painting, and I spent hours looking at their picture, so I don't really know them at all.
Many of us have had that experience in the city, recognizing the face of someone we've never actually met. There can be a certain sadness in that, but for Amory, there's also intimacy and possibility. For Cross Currents, I'm Julie Kane.
Well, that's it for Word of Mouth today on New Hampshire Public Radio. But first, a story that caught our eye. Starbucks, a company much maligned for its ubiquity, is rolling out a plan to reinvigorate the American workforce. Not with a double shot of espresso, but rather with targeted aid to local businesses in hard-hit communities. The coffee giant is partnering with the Opportunity Finance Network to turn every $5 donated by customers into $35 worth of financing for local businesses. So you can consider it as buying an iced caramel macchiato with a double shot for the overworked guy who owns the local burrito joint next door. And of course, your charitable dollars will get you a bracelet in return. The red, white, and blue wristband you'll get as a thank you won't match with your yellow Live Strong band, but is, of course, made in the USA, and the donation is tax deductible. Self-made Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz grew up in subsidized housing in Brooklyn. He recently called on business leaders to withhold political donations until Congress comes up with a solution to U.S. debt and revenue problems. Maybe you could speed up the process by withholding lawmakers' morning lattes. Still, who knew? Starbucks was so 99%. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for a new shot of ideas. Make it a double tomorrow at noon and again at 9 p.m. for Word of Mouth here on New Hampshire Public Radio.